Once a little boy stood looking into the window of a wax museum. In that wax museum were scenes from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. While he stood looking, a man came and stood by him. And the little boy said, "Mister, that one right there is Judas that betrayed him. And that one is the high priest that tried him. And this is Pilate that sentenced him to death. You know, mister, they treated him awful. Why, they crucified him on a cross. Why, mister, they put him in a dark, dismal tomb. They buried him in a grave." And the little boy was silent for a moment, so the man walked off. He hadn't gone far when the little boy ran and caught up with him. And pulling on his coattail, he said, "Mister, I forgot to tell you, he rose again. Last Sunday, I told you about his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. Last Sunday, I told you about his death on the cross. Last Sunday, I told you about his burial in the new-made tomb. This Sunday, I dare not forget to tell you, he rose again. It's recorded in the book of God. I read it to you from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and I shall read verse 1 through verse 6. After we pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for the glorious privilege that we have to be together to commemorate it today. It is now our prayer that the Holy Spirit would speak through us, and indeed speak to us, of the wonderful truth of the living Christ. And should there be those who have never trusted Him, may they open the door of their heart that the living Lord and Savior might walk in today. In His wonderful name we pray, and for His sake, amen. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." The empty tomb. The empty tomb reminds us of three things. First, it reminds us of the power of Christ to conquer death. Since time began, from the days of antiquity, the world that we know has been ravished and torn asunder by godless, merciless, ruthless tyrants and dictators and conquerors. I name just a few. I think of the pharaohs of Egypt, Pharaoh Necho, Pharaoh Hophra, Pharaoh Amasis, these and others conquered Egypt. I think of the tyrants of Assyria, Sargon, Shalmaneser, Tiglath-Pileser, Sennacherib. These conquered Assyria. I think about Babylon. I think of Nabonidus. I think of Nabopolassar. I think of Nergal-Glissar. I think of Nebuchadnezzar. I think of Belshazzar. These conquered Babylon. I think about Greece. And when I think about Greece, I think about Philip. And I think about Alexander the Great, who conquered Greece and the then known world. I think about the Medes and the Persians. I think of Cyrus, of Darius, of Cambyses, of Artaxerxes. These conquered Persia. The Caesars conquered Rome. The Tsars conquered Russia. Napoleon conquered France. Hitler conquered Germany. Mussolini conquered Italy. And on the roll call goes of those who conquered nations and continents and peoples all over the world. But you know, all of these conquerors had something in common. They each one was conquered by death. But I speak this morning of another conqueror. His name is Jesus. He's the master of all masters. He is the potentate of all potentates. He is the conqueror of all conquerors. He's the most unusual, the most unique, and the most unforgettable character of history. He was born in obscurity. He was reared in poverty. He died in shame. He was no traveler. In fact, he never traveled over 200 miles from the place where he was born. And yet men have crossed the deserts, sailed the ocean, climbed mountains, and combed continents just to brag on his name. He was no builder. He never built a temple, a cathedral, a mosque. But more buildings have risen in his name than that of any other person of history. Jesus Christ never marshaled an army. And yet more people have given their lives to his crusade than any other crusade in history. He never wrote a book. And yet the world itself could not contain all the books that should be written about the things that he's done. This is my Savior. He is my Lord and my Master, and I love to brag on him. I wish this morning that I had 10,000 tongues and I could speak 1,000 languages, that I might tell far and wide that Jesus Christ, my Savior, has come forth from the grave triumphant over death. You see, Jesus Christ and Christ alone can conquer death. You heard the choir sing it a moment ago. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And he lives today to govern in the affairs of man. There are theories about his resurrection. There is one called the swoon theory. This theory says that Jesus really did not die, but he simply swooned. And when they placed his body in the cold dampness of the tomb, he was awakened and aroused and revived. But my Bible doesn't tell it that way. My Bible says he died. And my Bible says he rose again. There is another theory. There is a theory that says that disciples did not really see Jesus. They only saw his apparition, his ghost. They say the disciples had hallucinations. They didn't really see him. But my Bible doesn't tell it that way. I read in the 20th chapter of John that on the first night after his resurrection that morning, he came to where the disciples were meeting. And he appeared to them and showed them his hands and his side. And when the roll was taken, a man by the name of Thomas was absent. This was on Sunday night. Well, read it for yourself. The evening of the day that he arose, Thomas didn't go to church that Sunday night. You never can tell what you're going to miss out on when you don't go to church on Sunday night. And Thomas was absent, so all through the week. I know he didn't go to prayer meeting. Anybody doesn't go on Sunday night usually doesn't go to prayer meeting. So all through the week, Thomas was gloom. He was down. He was depressed. Because he heard the other disciples talking about Jesus, the living Lord, the risen Christ. One of them said to him late on Saturday afternoon, "You know, Thomas, last Sunday night Jesus came and we saw his hands and his side." Thomas said, "None of that for me. Unless I for myself see his hands and put my finger in the nail prints and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Where do you suppose Thomas was the next Sunday night? He was in church, where you ought to be tonight. Just plug in my Sunday night now. Just, you know, just a little commercial there. You're used to that. About 10 minutes on TV, a commercial. So here's my commercial. The book of Daniel tonight you ought to hear. Well, Thomas was on the front seat, and the Lord Jesus came in. And the Lord said to Thomas, "Thomas, come here. Reach forth your hand and feel the nail prints. And reach forth your hand into my side." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. But blessed are they that have not seen, but who believe." Amen. You and I have not seen, but we believe. And happy are we, because Christ, our Savior, has the power to conquer death. Secondly, the empty tomb reminds us that we have a message to proclaim to the world. My, what a message it is. The message of the gospel, the story of redeeming grace, God's good news. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "I declare unto you the gospel, how that one, Christ, died according to the Scripture. Two, Christ was buried. Three, Christ rose again according to the Scripture." The capstone of our message is the resurrection. We dare not leave Jesus as a babe in the manger. We dare not leave him as a boy in the temple. We dare not leave him as a man on the cross. We dare not leave him as a body in the tomb. We must of necessity move to that glorious, that grandest, that most victorious, that most triumphant morning, the morning of the resurrection, For Jesus Christ is alive. Come see the place where he lay. The theme of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost was the resurrection, and 3,000 souls got saved. The theme of Paul's message on Mars Hill was the resurrection, and the philosophers of Athens, Greece, sat in rapt attention to hear Paul talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Beloved, the theme of the message that you and I have to deliver to the world today is the resurrection of Christ. Hear me, Christ arose. He arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Oh, the world's hearing all kinds of messages today. The message that we have is not a kid glove, silk stocking, ear-pleasing, devil-pleasing, man-favoring, social gospel. Ours is the message of redeeming grace. How that God loved men, and God so loved men that he gave his Son to die on the cross to save them from their sins. That's the message we have today. And it all comes from an empty tomb through the lips of a living Lord. It's a message of hope to the hopeless. It's a message of sight to those who are blind. It's a message of hearing to those who are deaf. It's a message of speaking to those who are dumb. It's a message of light to those in darkness. And beloved, it is a message of eternal life to those who are in the clutches of eternal death. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. And we've got a message to tell the world. In the third place, the empty tomb reminds us that we too shall live again. We too shall live again. Jesus stood by the grave of Lazarus. Martha said, "Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. But I know now that even anything you ask of the Father, he'll give you." Jesus said, "Martha, everything's going to be all right." Oh, she said, "I know, Lord, in the day of the resurrection." In the day of the resurrection, our brother will live. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He arose. Hallelujah! Christ arose. And he says to us, "Because I live, ye shall live also." There have always been unbelievers. There always will be unbelievers. Some of you in this congregation this morning may be unbelievers. There were unbelievers in the day of the Apostle Paul. And so Paul, by the leadership and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the grand and glorious 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And Paul, in his argument for the resurrection, said, "How say some among you that there is a resurrection if Christ be not raised? And if Christ be not raised, our preaching is vain. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. If Christ be not raised, you are yet in your sins. If Christ be not raised, your loved ones who have died and been buried are perished. If Jesus Christ be not raised, you are of all men most miserable." But wait. There is an undeniable, inexorable truth Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, Mr. Attorney, you presented a good case. It is settled. Christ arose, and we shall rise again. But the prosecuting attorney has a skeptic over here, and he wants to ask you a question. How can this be? How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And our attorney Paul says, you foolish one, just look in your garden, you'll get the answer. Amen. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, is not alive, except it first die. You take a grain out there and put it in the ground. It dies, and out of that death comes life, a new life. Paul says it is bare grain, perchance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own body. Now all flesh is not the same flesh, Paul says. There is one flesh of men, another of beasts, another of birds, and another of fish. There are also celestial bodies, that is, heavenly bodies, the angels. And there are terrestrial bodies, earthly bodies like yours and mine. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The last man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. How shall it be? Raised in the likeness of Christ. Well, our attorney has presented a good case. But the prosecuting attorney steps up again and he says, but wait, there's another question. When is this all going to happen, this mysterious thing you're talking about? This raising from the dead, this translating and this changing. When will it happen? And our attorney says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. When is it going to happen? On the great getting up morning. On the great resurrection day. On the day when Christ comes. Because this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There is no more death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our defense attorney has settled the thing again. But wait, I hear again from the prosecution. Here is another skeptic. Here is another question. How can this be? All over this world, the skeptic says, all over this earth, men have gone down in battle. Their bodies have been blown to bits. They have made their graves in the oceans. All across the world, there have been car, automobile accidents when bodies have been bruised and mangled and dismembered and torn asunder. There have been those who have been burned in fire beyond recognition. Their caskets can't even be opened. Their family cannot even review their last remains. How shall it be, Mr. Attorney? How can it be that these bodies will be brought back together and made a new body? Well, here's the answer. God is able to do it. In the laboratory of one of the most famous chemists who ever lived, Michael Faraday, there was a beautiful silver cup, none like it in all the world, precious. No premium, nor price, nor purse could be put on it. And one day, an assistant to Michael Faraday accidentally dropped that silver cup into a vat of acid. And immediately, now, it went away, dissolved, dropped in the bottom. The silver is all gone. And someone was heard to say, but oh, what a precious cup. Too bad it's gone and shall never be seen again. But Michael Faraday reached into his chemistry cabinet and he took out a bottle that had the proper solution. And he poured the contents into that vat of acid. And the silver started coming from everywhere. And it all came into one formless mass. And the chemist retrieved it out of that acid and held up that formless mass and said, it'll all be all right. He wrapped it up carefully, mailed it to the silversmith that made it in the first place. In a few days, there came a package. What do you suppose was in that package? A silver cup out of the same silver that had been completely lost in that acid. It had all come back together and had been fashioned a silver cup. And beloved, I'm persuaded this morning, I believe it with all of my heart. I believe with all of my soul that if Michael Faraday can do that with the silver cup, that my heavenly chemist can reach to the battlefields, and he can reach to the oceans, and he can reach to the graves, and he can reach all over this universe and bring together the bits of the bodies that have been battered and bruised and torn apart and make them like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The empty tomb says to me, we too shall live again. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. I'm glad he's alive today. Is he living in your heart? Is he your Savior? Is he the Lord and Master of your soul? If not, I invite you today to open the door of your heart and invite Jesus Christ to come in. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee today for the living Christ who lives within our hearts. We pray today, if there be those here in this congregation who have never trusted Him, who do not know Him as Lord and Master and Savior of their lives, oh, how we pray today that the Holy Spirit would speak. How we pray today that the living Lord would, through the Holy Spirit, bring conviction to hearts in this place. May men honor and own and acknowledge and receive and accept Jesus Christ into their hearts. May boys and girls come and young people to honor Christ, to accept Him, to be born again into the family of God. For those, Heavenly Father, who indeed are saved but who do not have the resurrection joy and the resurrection power, I pray this morning that they might come. For those who are seeking a church home, I pray today that they would tarry no longer but come and identify with this church and with this people. This we pray in the name of the living Lord and for His sake.